Good morning. Welcome to the Senior Citizens Advisory Council Executive Board meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order and thank everyone for attending today. And I would like to ask Sandy Stanton to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Rise. Put your hand on your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. At this time, members of the public may address the board regarding any items within the subject matter jurisdiction, provided that no action is taken on off-agenda items unless authorized by law. Comments shall be limited to 3 minutes unless the chair sets a different time limit. Do we have any members of the public wishing to comment? Okay, thank you.
Christian.
Now I would like to ask Colleen to give us the Office on Aging updates, please.
You want to do
we need a
roll call?
Oh, sorry, roll call.
Wait a few minutes. Jean can say, oh, wait. Elaine Genoway.
On our way.
Jean Hernandez. Present. It's not been a good day.
He's a man.
Okay, Meredith Chalemi.
Chalemi, present.
And Elaine's coming.
Yes.
Okay. Barbara Sloat.
Present.
Sloat. Sandy Skin.
Present.
So, Mr. President, we have a quorum. Which one?
Evercore.
Excellent.
Yes. Okay. Office on Aging.
Update. That would be. Nothing much going on at the moment. In terms of bylaws, I can confirm they are with County Council's office. We have asked for them to get back to us with any changes by Friday. Not sure that will happen, but we'll wait and see.
We're moving along.
Depending on what they come back with, and then we go back to them or whatever. The goal is to try and bring this to the full committee in July. That's the goal.
Excellent goal.
To get that done. Master Plan for Aging is going well. Right now, we're in the middle of our stakeholder interviews. I know Advance OC has been reaching out to various stakeholders in the community. And that's just not for long. You should be actually hearing from them. We're right now, they're at the stakeholder point, if I'm remembering the timeline correctly, somewhere in August, because they want to wait until the summer season is over. They're going to start the community outreach and workshop, which is where this group will be involved, I believe. But don't quote me on that. I've got to double check it. Other than that, I think we're doing well. We're moving along. We had our CDA with it, and it all went well.
Great.
That's question on the bylaws. Are you expecting them to make like a lot of comments and changes, or do you think it's like a kind of brush over?
These are attorneys. This is how they make their living. So they will make changes just for their existence. But
it is definitely not a brush over.
Yes.
Not by a long shot. I think they're going to give it their initial first review of it. They will correct anything that they feel legally is incorrect or needs to be omitted inadvertently or needs to be in there. Then when it comes back to the full council, depending on how everyone reacts to it. And I really want the full council to have a robust discussion and feel like that everyone can put their input regardless, because it will go back to county council one way or the other. So having it go to county council now should not be an impediment to anyone speaking up at the meeting. I think it will provide for some robust discussion. It's condensed quite a bit. We'll see what county council comes back with, because we've taken some things and kind of said there's really no need for that at this point.
Redundancies, yeah.
Yeah. It's So we'll see what happens. So that's where that's at.
Someone give me an update in regards to one bylaw changes are being made. Because I thought we went through this with the county.
The bylaws weren't working well for us in terms of having to report the hours, the 8 hours. No other committees in our county are doing that. Also, we wanted to be able to streamline them and go through them line by line to modernize them, including suggesting a potential name change.
There was a host of issues that we needed
to standing committees we felt were many times redundant to what we were doing in SCAC.
And the problem was we couldn't make any change about tweaking our bylaws because we were kind of those were the tight guidelines that we had. So
it started out by us wanting to really modernize this committee so that younger, older adults and professionals are more apt to want to join it with efficiency and modernization so that everyone feels like we're getting things done in an efficient way.
Yeah, there were some concerns with regards to the subcommittees and how effective or ineffective they were being. And it was kind of like, it was felt amongst, I think, a consensus of the groups that they were getting together to the purpose of hearing a presentation and really nothing substantive was coming out.
This all happened because when Gina and I took our terms, we were unable successfully to recruit people to chair the subcommittees because generally people didn't realize that it had an impact. It was like, we're meeting, there's been people here for a long time, we're hearing a presentation, but then how does that information successfully get to this group in 2 minutes? It doesn't really. And then what are we doing that actually makes a change with the Office on Aging and the Board of Supervisors? So everyone wanted to kind of take a fresh look and tighten that up.
Yeah. And there were a lot of redundancies in the bylaws. Like there were some sections that just didn't make sense where they were. So it's not that stuff was cut out. It was more like, okay, this really shouldn't be down here. It needs to be up front here. You know, so there was a lot of
some of it
was moving around. Yeah.
Some of it's just condensing.
Yeah. Just making it.
But I think what Meredith said was really critical thing. We had during a lot of difficulty in people on board, taking leadership roles, and then when we asked and inquired, this was the feedback we were getting. Not sure if my time's spent here or what we're doing. So, okay, well, let's step back, take a look, and let's reevaluate.
Everything changed after the pandemic for the whole world, too. And I guess this is just a small part of it.
Yeah, but I was just wondering if the bylaw changes and of course the comments like the bylaws. Not all of them did I agree with.
Well, I didn't think we had much choice, but
well, we do have choice. I guess we did. Yes, we do. I just won't have any.
No, you will because we're going to.
Yeah,
it's going to come back. So we can. So.
Okay. In fact, I expect you to take a look at part of that day. Spot of Elaine, glad you made it.
Hello.
Okay. Let's get to discussion items. Senior Center liaison role. As you know, Evelyn.
Yes.
Has resigned.
From staff?
Yes. Other work commitments. She's just getting bombarded. So she was really fired up. So we're going to have as you know, we were redefining that role senior center liaison. We had divided up a couple ways. We went by having every member or large number of members of SCAC be liaisons to their individual groups. And that kind of morphed down to they really weren't spending a lot of time there. A lot of times it's a phone call. Hey, everything going okay? Yeah, okay, great. Or they go there, hand out some material, but it wasn't real vibrant. And I don't think we were getting our people fired up about it. So Evelyn was going to kind of lead that charge because she had an interest in that. So did the other one that resigned.
Carolyn.
So we're kind of back to square one, finding someone that wants to take this role. Now we have a lot of new people, I think a lot of enthusiasm, but we need to make sure they understand what that role is. So any discussion on here, what you see as that role, folks, anything you...
Well, Meredith had a good idea. She suggested that at one of our meetings, maybe we could get the chairperson when the senior centers meet. Mr. Representative Reach Center, they have a monthly, I think monthly or quarterly meeting. So maybe if we got them to present, we could ask them, how could we work with you better? Maybe that would be one of the questions.
Come to our general meeting to present, because we don't go now to those.
Right, but just as a preliminary, and I thought that was a good idea.
Or maybe if we do it the other way and we have a designated staff representative go to that monthly meeting,
that would
and
be
then
more
you're talking to all the
more efficient
directors of all the senior centers and getting the message out to them and asking them questions.
Where is that meeting?
We don't know. That's what we're going to find out.
Okay.
I don't
know. Did someone from the Office on Aging attend that? I believe Eric used
to. I think that got dropped.
Are you talking like a monthly meeting of all the seniors?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, the directors. We need to get plugged back into that.
Can you find this?
Yeah. But I think if we had a designated liaison to that committee, and then we could be communicating to them, and then also asking the directors, what do they need from us?
Well, I think we need to go to this meeting first to find out if that role would be appropriate. If they don't have an issue with that, it shouldn't. Yes, and then what you described.
Well, and they shouldn't, as long as we explain to them what SCAC's role is. I mean, our role is to advocate to the Board of Supervisors for the resources and services that are needed by the seniors in Orange County. We need to explain that because we are the citizens' advocate.
Yeah, I'm afraid they're going to see us as more. Aren't you the ones that come and then we have to set up a meeting and we have to, you know, do all this?
No.
Well, we're going to change all that. See, no, we're not coming here. We've got our own place. So you got off your plate right now. But just then what you just said, hey, we're here as a resource for you. What do you need?
We're here to listen and we're here to, if you have something that you feel is, you know, either not being addressed or something you want to compliment on what's going on in the city, or the county, but there just needs to be that open line of communication. I think a regular presence there would establish it. A one-time visit isn't going to do it.
No. But we need to find out what their mindset is. If they don't have a problem with our visiting, basis. Then we need to bring that up with our general group and see who has an interest in this. There's a couple of new guys that I know really seem fired up. In fact, that one, he's a perfect one to stick on this.
Also, if you make it clear to them that you're not coming on as a voting member or anything like that, but just there as a
liaison.
Yes.
Yeah, we can explain that. That's fine.
Let me find out where that meeting. I'm not aware of a monthly meeting, but
yeah.
Is it monthly meeting of all senior center directors?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Pauline, we were at the OCTA senior transportation meeting and they had Erica's name played out. I let them know that Erica's no longer there. So someone needs to follow up on that too. Is she out for Office on Aging?
What meeting was this? OCTA?
The senior.
Well, it used to be called Special Needs Transportation, and now it's called something else. Yeah.
It's the transportation input from
people with disabilities and older adults.
Special needs. And the attendance, they have this too many inputs for OCTA.
So Office on Aging is supposed to be there. Yeah.
Well, it would definitely be their role to be there because.
Right. They just haven't updated Erica.
They're going through some issues, as you can see.
Yeah.
We didn't even have a quorum yesterday.
Yeah.
And so
the issue is that we're all now, all the directors, we get two representatives on that input, and that's just coming out now. So we're all giving those names. They're firming that up. That's why you write it down. Good.
They've always had problems.
It meets quarterly. This week on Tuesday, I think. Was that? Oh, that's a shame for a quarterly meeting not to have a quorum.
Yes. It happens a lot with that committee.
Then you've got to wait, basically, meeting twice a year then.
Well, they go ahead and have a meeting. They just don't approve the minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Presentations and everything going forward. So
and for OCTA, it's no headache because we're not getting, you need to change this, you need to have that. We're not getting to that. So we assume it's working if nobody's complaining. But this group is able to say, well, wait a minute. I know there's a hot issue about bikes. They want to put bikes on these things, be able to, you know, put a bike on, I think it's Access, because the bus will take bikes, but Access doesn't. There's all kinds of, but we need to hear that from
Bike Access. Most of the people that go on Access.
I will turn you on to a gal that just will absolutely tell you all the good reasons why that should happen.
they need exercise, they get their bike to the place, it's good, healthy.
So if you're vision impaired or you have arthritis, then you're going to ride a bike after you get off your access?
Almost everybody I know that rides access has difficulty walking.
Right.
How are they going to ride a bike?
You don't have to convince
me. Is access also for developmentally challenged?
It's
for anybody that has.
Yeah, but I'm just trying to think who outside of what we think of using access is eligible.
There's a lot of use. There's a lot of people that use it. So that's not a case of not using it. But we need what there's. These are advocates.
Or are you talking about OC Flex?
No, that's
that's different. But I'm wondering, that may be where they need to get bikes on the bus.
Well,
that would make way more sense.
Yeah.
When you're talking about bikes, you can also put e-bikes.
Yeah.
I think that was another thing they had.
Those are heavier.
But the bottom line is, we need to hear from our special needs customers that they need stuff. Here's what I need. Here's why I don't take it, because I don't have this access, or they don't take me there, or whatever. So
when I first started going to meetings, it was everybody like me that just drives their car and doesn't use public transportation. Now they've made a real focus to bring in people that have vision issues. People with support animals.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't there yesterday. There's one gentleman that comes, it's in a wheelchair and goes flat. So he's actually lying down in the meeting. So people that have real issues that use public transportation should be there, because we don't know the issues. I don't ride the bus.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, what do I know?
Yeah, right.
I'll follow up on my end, OCTA, to see where we at with this, because I know they're just hounding me to get my two reps in, and I gave them to them. So next quarterly, it's going to be a while.
Those access buses are all new and need special equipment to put a bike on there. So then that's another
maybe it's a big magnet. Oh, no. The whole thing is the car as it passes start.
Exactly.
I'm very sensitive to special needs.
Down.
Okay, age 65 plus, use of fentanyl.
Elaine. Yes, so that's something that I brought up at our last meeting and asked that we discuss it. It's something that is on the rise for 65 plus. Think of it more with youth, and then maybe up to between 18 and 45 year old. Now it is the leading cause of death. But the 65 plus is on an uptick now because of inflation, the cost of living, trying to make that budget stretch. And if I can get my prescriptions cheaper somewhere else, but they're not getting them from a pharmacy. So I think this is something that we really need to alert the seniors to. And I asked, Pauline gave me some information on this. And I also, working with the retired administrator of the DEA, to see what they have to on their.
Are these people that are experiencing homelessness as well? Because half of homeless people are now older adults.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. But I'm looking, even the people who go to our senior centers, you know, I know at the beginning of COVID, there were a number of seniors getting their prescriptions from Canada. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, but it was Chinese. It was drugs imported from China, and you still didn't know what was in it. But with this, we need to alert our 65-year-olds that, and so if we can, I know Office on Aging can do flyers itself. If we don't find anything that is, we think is appropriate to reach our target audience, and this is something we need to get out through this, the senior center directors, or we can have our senior center liaisons, if that is re-upped, we can go that route. Also, maybe see if I'm drawing a blank on, is it Dr. Liu?
Liu, yeah.
Yeah, maybe have him speak at one of our meetings, or ask if he would speak at different senior centers, or even have some regional presentations on this.
But that's only half the issue, because the other half is they can't afford a pharmacy and the good pharmaceuticals.
Well,
so we need to look at that issue.
Well, that's high tech.
That's totally different. I think what Elaine is trying to get to at this point is just to make people aware that if you start ordering your prescriptions from Mexico or Canada or outside the United States, regulations aren't as strong. you could be getting pills that are laced with fentanyl.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't know. You wouldn't
yeah,
know it.
You're in it. Yeah. Because you're just getting them online. You're getting it from a friend.
Right.
So it's kind of a.
And if you need help affording them, then call HICAP.
And what is HICAP?
The Health
Insurance Counseling Advocacy Program. It's run through Council on Advocacy.
So it's the year we can't afford it, can get.
They can counsel them on different sport plans.
So
yeah.
Be more like a, you know, the one pill can kill campaign, but targeting seniors, that one pill can kill.
There's, I looked on, I just so you know, I did put a call or an email in to Kerry Brown with the Orange County Sheriff's Department to see if they have anything, and I have not heard back from her at all yet.
And I asked Ray Brandbaugh too, and I haven't heard from him either.
Okay.
So this is basically medication from Mexico, but we're here in Canada too.
This is information that I pulled, the latest one that came out from the embassy in Mexico, that said, and this is just in March, just gone, that said, you know, you guys need to be, you know, aware of exercise caution when purchasing Medicaid in Mexico.
And we know seniors are being preyed upon through the internet.
Yeah.
And what may look like a legit site to them may not be.
Right.
So it could be a variety of sources.
Oh, and it's mostly opioids that they're taking.
Yeah, for pain. So, and this is something that I believe that we do need to address, and we need to do it rather quickly before anyone else passes. Mm-hmm. But how we do it is I think, up to this committee.
Well, we talking about.
I like your idea of
a true pharmaceutical location.
Yeah.
In
and
Mexico.
We
could do that.
We could do it. Okay, so
this one.
I'd like to see is if the sheriffs have something, there's something already in county. If not, maybe the office on aging can adapt one of those one children and kill. That's informational, but I think a graphic would. This can be supplemental, but sometimes when people have to read, they don't read.
So say make it short and sweet.
Yeah. So I think maybe some type of a one pill can kill, even if you're over 65 or something, and then some text. So that's something that can be done through the office on aging.
Yeah, and then just this some bullets.
Yeah.
This is too much for people to read.
Right. Yeah, this is something that can be distributed as supplemental, but it's not, we want to wake them up.
Right.
In fact, that it's not just affecting their grandchildren. They could be afraid of it also.
Anything else?
Well, what's our action step? I'll be happy to lead this up if you want me to.
What exactly are you leading up?
Well, I think of the creation of a flyer. Let's continue looking at the resources that we have already. If there's something available, you can, if not, have the Office of Aging create a flyer pulling together this information, but it's more of a graphic than this with a couple of bullet points. And then that's something that
probably distribute
that can be distributed through the senior center liaisons and also all the senior center directors. We can send it to all the cities, have their mayors speak to it. I know the mayors are taking, there's so much going on with regarding fentanyl, and I know a lot of the mayors are taking positions now with what's going on in Sacramento. Regarding fentanyl. So I think that they would be willing to share this message. But I think if we produce a one-page flyer and really made a big effort to get this out, not trickle out, but boom. And then as an aside, see if there are any educational programs through Dr. Lee that can be made available.
Is it Lee or Lou?
Lou.
He's a pharmacist.
Yeah. He is an excellent
student.
He engages
us every year.
Okay. Well, maybe he might make a presentation for September.
Okay, so to Lane's question, what's the direction? What's the action?
I agree with everything you said. We should do the flyer. We should get it out after we see what's already available or when we create it.
I will check with our office, see if we can do that.
And Lane's going to lead the charge on this.
Okay, so then I'll work with Pauline on this.
I would like to Yeah, keeping in mind, I do have 20 million other things.
No, I know. Well, so, let me know what information you have. I'll gather some.
I can take a stab and put you, together a flyer.
Well, oh, but there was, I'm trying, there is someone in the office on aging who would just do the flyers.
Not anymore. That has changed. So I can take a stab up on the flyers, okay. Put the flyers together. If you can take a stab at reaching out to Sheriff, which I did, Carrie Braun, you said Ray Rangel. I don't think there's anything at the county level.
I looked on their website and
there's nothing. Yeah.
But Don Yarns and Todd Spitzer just did a huge fentanyl town hall in Laguna Niguel. So that's
targeted towards teens.
Well, it was targeted teens, and they also talked about that's where the 65 plus people do.
I was back in Washington with our advocacy group, and Ray was there.
Ray Rangel.
And every elected we met with back there, he raised this issue of fentanyl. So he may be a real good one to contact as a resource to assist with you. They're very well aware of pushing real hard.
Okay. So, Pauline, what I'll do is I'll continue working that route. I'll continue working with the, retired administrator of the DEA.
Yep.
She was the highest, I got to say this right.
Oh.
Highest level law enforcement official in the nation, female.
I know who you're talking about. Wow. I met her.
That's impressive.
Yes, yes, you did.
So her name is Michelle Lenhart.
Yeah.
So she's retired now. She was appointed by both President Bush and President Obama into the DEA. But so anyways, I'll work that out to gather information. Let me know what you find, Pauline, and then we can develop what's going on it,
the
bullet points, and then Pauline's magic as far as placing these things on a piece of paper.
And then just get your report back.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to SCAC officer and executive committee vacancies. How many vacancies do we have now? Three?
Okay, so there's two different, from looking at the bylaws, we have one officer position. The officers are the chair, vice chair, secretary, and immediate past chair. Okay.
What was that last?
Immediate past chair. They are the four listed officers per the bylaws. The secretary position is available, right, is open right now. According to the bylaws, we have to conduct an election to fill that position. In terms of the members at large, the same situation applies. So I'm hoping to put on the next, well, I have put it on the next agenda for the full committee to conduct an election to fill those positions. The secretary
position needs to be filled?
Yes, it needs to be elected. So, and it'll be for the unexpired term that Carolyn Inman left. So it'll be until November when we conduct the annual elections for everyone again. So
we can make it an interim election.
Evelyn is a member of the executive committee. She's not an officer.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So we also need to fill that too.
There's two. Carolyn Inman and Carolyn was on executive.
She was secretary.
Carolyn was secretary. Evelyn was on
member
the executive committee as a member at large. Correct.
So you've got one spot on each, but Dave is still.
Yeah. Yeah. We actually have three.
And so it's going to be a long time.
No, yeah, you're right. We have two because we have.
So there's seven on the executive committee.
Right. And you don't have Carolyn and Evelyn anymore. So
there's two. And then three at large.
Yeah. Right.
So the members at large right now.
So you need to make. Dave, official secretary, and then one more spot for at large.
Right. Yeah, because Dave will serve as an officer and on the visa.
Yes.
No, did we change our?
We didn't vote on that last time. Okay.
No.
Are we proposing the bylaw change to have 2-year terms? Or did you keep them?
That wasn't our choice. That was the Board of Supervisors' decision.
I think it's one.
Yeah.
Okay, so we
for you guys, because there's three different methods by which people are appointed. And if you're appointed by a board of supervisor, you run concurrent with the term of the board, the board member. So your term runs concurrent with that.
So that changed then?
No, that's still the same.
Because it was 2 years, but they had to keep reappointing. But if they didn't reappoint, you stay in your position.
Correct, correct. Until the term of the supervisor is over. So if they're not, say they just are elected for 4 years. So the person they appoint on year one goes for 2 year term, reapplies, goes to the end of.
Yeah, but the problem with many supervisors is they wouldn't reappoint, so the person would just stay in a position.
Correct. Correct.
What about city?
I'm sorry?
What about city if you're appointed?
I believe it's a 2 year term.
Yeah, city selection.
City selection committee. Yeah.
So we have one vacancy to fill.
Two.
So,
two.
Well, we're assuming that you're going to.
Yeah.
I wouldn't assume anything. I really wouldn't, because we've got new members. So when this is opened up for an election, we'll see. I mean, we'll put the nominations out there, you know, for anyone who wants to be nominated for the position of secretary.
And the county wouldn't allow a nominee,
right? Right. They took that off. They made them all the same.
So also things that couldn't change.
Right. But what you can do is reach out to someone who you think would be a good candidate and talk to them about what the position is. So then when you get to the meeting, they are ready to be nominated.
Correct.
So we need to put this on as an action item on our next agenda.
For the full council.
So trying to get Dave on board. It's amazing. Okay. Do we have any?
It's playing hard to get Dave.
No,
we're the ones playing hard to get him.
It's going to cost.
Do we have any nominations for that other opening?
Not right now.
And just be mindful if you fill that other opening, you may not to exclude anyone, but if it were filled with a standing committee chair, then you've got to find a new standing committee chair. Yeah.
Well, the new ones don't have that issue because they're not chairs. The new ones we brought on board, at least the ones I'm taking out.
They're not chairs, so
there's only one that we brought on board. That's what I was speaking of.
Who?
Victor. Correct.
Victor, what about Dave from Laguna Niguel? He's relatively new, too.
And then Ken Hickman is.
He's
new.
Now, I was at a meeting with Mario, and he said that he wasn't sure if he could join staff or not because he is a provider. Because he would be interested too.
I think it would be good to have him at the table.
Yeah.
Just like we have Patty at the table.
Yeah.
And it provides us information about what's actually happening out in the field.
So I can follow up with Mario if we want to try to have him.
Well, the point being, there's actually a number of newer members.
But is Mario two? Have you reached out to the two of them?
Oh, no. So he could.
Okay. Need to do that before they can.
So he could bring them on board, you mean?
Uh-huh. You're supposed to reach out to them.
Unless it was the following month, I guess.
They're supposed to attend one meeting.
No, I didn't reach out. I reached Victor, I did, so he's done. Okay. And Dave, I did too. They're both done.
Okay. Andrew Wynn?
I didn't do Andrew.
Something or other. I sent you both their applications.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I looked at those. Okay.
Yeah. So
you need to reach out.
But the slate need to come to the meeting.
That's the thing. They hadn't been to a meeting, right?
They haven't been. And that's what you need to tell them so they understand. They have to come to a meeting and one of
them. We also have Janelle Odishu, who I invited to join us. She's been coming to the meetings. She's interested.
Has she filled out an application?
She's already on SCAC.
Oh, okay. Okay. And
you know what I would look at, though, is to see which openings you have as far as supervisor appointees and city selection. Because those are the harder slots to fill because you have to meet certain criteria. And if you can fill those with any of these people, and then if they don't meet any of that criteria, then they can be an executive committee appointee.
Gotcha.
Thoughts on that?
We have that as an agenda.
It'll be on the agenda for the full meeting, I think.
Right.
I've got to make the calls.
Yeah.
Okay. Jean, have you received any notification yet regarding the next city selection committee? Usually that's in May.
Not yet.
because I want to keep an eye for what openings there are on SCAP and make sure that's in what goes out for city selection.
I'll email me
again. I don't think so, Elaine. I don't think you got that word. Yeah, she'll send out 3 or 4 times. So
yeah, but sometimes she wouldn't have a couple of times over the years. There was not a city selection for a certain district on there that we knew we had a vacant. So you just wanted to
take a look. All right, let's go to chair report. I think we just did that. Covered in business. Got any old business? I don't. Chair comments. I think our meeting location is working out well. No problems. Had a good group last time. A lot of dynamic and focused input. A couple of our newer members are really not quilting violets. They're out there jumping in. Okay. A standing committee update, Meredith, anything?
No, I don't have anything for that.
Members in good standing, Dave?
Since we've only had 3 months, I did not see anyone that has been vacant from all 3 months. I haven't done the tabulations yet. I've been gathering reports up from the 2 previous secretaries.
Does anyone know how Jim Levy is doing? Sorry for interrupting you, Dave. Jim Levy, does anyone know how he's doing? Because if he misses one more meeting, then he'll be automatically off. And I understand he missed Bill.
Who's that?
Jim Levy. Levy. I didn't know he was there.
Oh, he's good now. Jim's back. He should be back.
He should be back?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
What happened with Charlene Ashendorf?
She missed 3 meetings in a row.
She did. She was there last meeting.
Yeah, she was there last meeting, and it seems like she got booted off.
She did.
I've got two
She absences. Was a board appointee.
I've got 2 absences.
Okay. Okay. So she, but she, if she still wants to be on, she can apply to be an executive committee appointee.
Executive committee, I don't think those appointees.
Yes, we do. We have 20 spots. There's 10 city selections.
Yeah, no, I know, Elaine, but what I'm saying is I'm not sure the executive, this committee gets to appoint people to it. I'm not sure. I think you might be right. I'm not sure. I need to check.
Try not to lose her.
Well, right. Her off. Does she know we booted her off?
Yeah, she does. I got an email from Crystal about it, and I don't think that it was a very favorable outcome for us.
So we're going to go back and say, oops, would you like to come back?
She was there.
Yeah, but what Pauline is saying, she was a supervisor.
She was.
So the supervisor probably appointed somebody else.
It's tremendous.
And we told her that there was another appointee. But yes, I agree.
The clerk of the board runs that.
So we need to go back and say, look, here's another way to come back.
Seems like we need to find a more dignified way to work with the clerk of the board when we're working with our members as these things happen, because it seems like it's really sterile right now.
I wish it was sterile. I didn't think it's sterile. I think it's more negative.
I don't think so. I disagree.
Because this has never happened before. It's like a new process.
No, it's happened a couple of times when board members change and new board members come on and they want to bring on somebody else. There is information that goes to the person saying, hey, you know, thank you for your service. Nothing personal.
But it's that little link there. Hey, nothing personal. Apparently it is because it didn't come across for a while. We're already getting feedback. That's well, not.
I serve at the pleasure of the supervisor.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, they serve at the pleasure of the supervisor appointing them. And maybe it's more noticeable now because we've had such a change in the board of supervisor
probably.
Dynamics. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so could she apply to be on the?
She could under the 10 members, 20 members.
20.
Sorry.
We have 20 that, so it's 10 city selection and supervisors. Yeah, 2 for each supervisor and then 2 for each district under city selection and then 20 for executive committee.
Could you send me
If she did city selection, she wouldn't have a problem either. We could get her on there.
Well, but do you have right two now, people already on city selection?
Like, that's what she's saying. That's already two.
I don't know. Let's see. I don't know how up to date my list is because I haven't been up to date for a few months.
That's already two. She's not this. So let me.
City selection. I have this Barbara, and I don't have anyone else listed.
I'm city selection
from Newport Beach.
Yeah, I don't have anyone else from District 2.
Charlie lives in Costa Mesa, right?
I think
yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, but she, well, she was a supervisor right. appointee.
Right.
Her and Joni are District 2. So is to Joni?
Yeah, supervisor now.
Sarmiento.
Oh, Sarmiento. I know Sarmiento just so they can, but no, that just, yeah,
he appointed somebody.
Yeah.
It could be. It depends on
Yeah.
Well, but for the supervisors, yeah, they don't enough. Have to live in the supervisor district.
Is very well connected.
They need to be from the supervisor whose district.
Yeah.
We'll get her on so, in some fashion.
I'll call her. Maybe we can smooth it
explain
out.
How this process went. Yeah. And
she probably wasn't fully aware of how it all worked either. Because it sounds like she was a little surprised. Surprise! We don't want you anymore. It's not a good way to do things.
Have you got a letter that we sent? Can you bring us a copy so we can see it so we don't cast aspersions that it's negative?
Okay, so it's the city clerk's office that sends letters. And Charlene sent the letter to me that she received because I asked to see it.
From the city clerk?
From the city county clerk. No. From the county clerk.
Okay, can we see the letter that the county
we don't generate the letter.
I understand that. I just want to see it because we're hearing that it may not be the smoothest letter.
But what we could have done differently if we knew that it was coming is we could have said, hey, that entryway is now closed, but we would still like to retain you. We could have done that without this gap.
So this wasn't a thank you for service letter.
I don't.
It was a thank you for your service letter.
But the supervisor appointee has made another selection.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we know whether or not supervisors keeping Joni Nichols on? Do you
know that? But the board of supervisors appointees, it's incumbent upon them to reach out personally to their appointees. And talk to them and say, we're making a decision, we're going in a different direction, whatever the case may be. Appreciate all your service. You know, maybe you can fill a position like a city selection or an executive committee position, but I want to appoint this person. Right. So it's incumbent upon the board.
But when you're a new supervisor, mm-hmm. you're not going to make your first negative call to somebody send you off and put somebody else. At least Sarmiento, and I know him, and he won't do that.
And he had a letter
sent.
Yeah, he'll send a letter.
So yeah. Let me ask you this, though. So Charlene lives in Costa Mesa. Costa Mesa is now District 5.
Correct.
Supervisor Foley, when she was District 2, she appointed Charlene. Supervisor Foley is now District 5. Mm-hmm. And according to my guess, which is old, there's an opening for a supervisor appointee in District 5.
I'll double check.
Because there's one, Patty Mouton is one.
Is one of them, yeah.
And then the other one, because I know before I was talking to Supervisor Bartlett, but we weren't able to get anyone. So I don't know whether or not Supervisor Foley has appointed anyone now, or since she appointed Charlene before, maybe she'd like to appoint her again in District 5.
Oh, that's good.
I'll check.
Trying to keep straight these new supervisor districts.
I have to go every time. I have to figure out what district I'm in. Then I got to go online.
Yeah, because we're not in the same district anymore. That is so like the other, like Laguna Niguel and Mishmeha are two different districts now. That's so weird.
That is weird.
So
what's Mishmeha?
But you're in Jean's district. You're Belinda and Mishmeha are in the same district.
Who's Mishmeha's district?
District 3.
Wagner. Oh.
Yeah. District.
Okay.
How do they decide to make these changes?
We're not going to get into that discussion. It sounds like change.
No.
It was done by every 10 years.
Sure.
Every 10 years, we have to go through redistricting to make sure that we have.
Yeah, but the thing is, when the map was done, it's like, you're supposed to keep like communities together.
Yeah.
Well, they can't justify this one.
I know.
This one is so bizarre.
It is.
I mean, Wagner's district, it's
justified.
From Yorbland all the way down south to past Mission Viejo. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. It's. I hate that process. Hate it with a passion.
Okay, I'm going to have to, it's fairly quick and I just got another person. Okay, anything else? Since, no. Members in good standing, we just had that. No problem at this point.
So can you call Jim and just make sure that he knows that he needs to come next time?
Jim Levy?
Yeah.
He needs to come to the May meeting.
Oh, okay.
I think that would be nice.
Yeah, and Sandy, you'll follow up with
Charlie.
We definitely want to keep her.
Because we want to be respectful of Jim too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would just crush him if he were.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, any members that go around the board? Any?
I had one thing I just wanted to tell you guys. The area plan that we did the presentation on has been submitted to the state.
Okay.
So got it in. We'll wait and see if it comes back. And then once it comes back and it's approved, we will post it up on the website. So the update is done. And then we're in the process of starting the 4-year area plan right now. We just do the next thing.
Okay. No. Anything else? Okay.
Undo that bang of the gap.
Yes. What do you have,
Elaine? Well, I'm noticing. Thank you. The next meeting is May 26th. So that's the Friday morning of Memorial Day weekend.
Yes.
So are we going to have that meeting?
That's what we've got down there. Yes.
I know we have it down there, but I would hate for some of us to plan to be here and other of us be on vacation already. And then there's not a quorum because that's not respectful to them.
I'll be here.
Sure.
Yep.
You won't be in Hawaii or anything?
Nope.
Any mountain locations? Or
double check.
It's the Eiffel Tower thing.
That was my friend.
He said it.
He's right, though.
Also, and as an aside, the night.
I'll be here. I got it down. I'm
having a very special program in Laguna Niguel. On the eve of Memorial Day, and I'll send all of you an invitation to it. But the speakers are going to there's three speakers, and one of them is the daughter of an Auschwitz survivor. Mm-hmm. So we're going to start Memorial Day weekend. It'll be very interesting.
I had to give a certificate to a
so do you think survivor. Is it possible to change this meeting date? Because I agree with Elaine, that's not very good.
Well, have you looked? Is anybody going to be gone? I'm not. Anyone else?
I don't know. Yet.
Well, yeah, so you're waiting for a better thing to come along.
Yeah.
Well, it is.
But right now, you don't have
it's a holiday.
Well, I'll tell you though,
it's a holiday weekend.
It's a holiday weekend. So I'm just bringing it up.
We'll retire.
I'm tired. Fridays are
not on the Mondays.
Mondays have Fridays off, so that's when they want to talk to me.
At this time, but to play it safe, I would say just move to the 19th.
I want to tell.
We can do the 19th at 9:30.
And let me check and see if the room's available.
Oh, yeah, good idea.
Okay, just get back.
Well, that date's not very good for me.
Really?
I don't know. I can skip one there.
We need you.
Would the 25th be better?
Yes.
Not for me.
Okay.
Yeah, not for me.
That's why we share it on that 26th.
Why don't we leave it at the 26th for now? Until
we hear everybody's
ready. If there's two or three of you deciding to do something, I mean, it's early enough on the Friday morning to let people start. They're going out of town.
Yeah, just leave it now.
Up to you guys.
Yeah, I just bring it up because I know. Yeah, I remember when I was Jean's chair, so I thought, oh, yes, we can have the meeting. And then you start getting the phone calls up. I'm going on vacation.
Well, that's just us in here. So we'll see if you guys get something that can't be changed. Okay.
26 is fine.
I'm ready. Anything else? We are adjourned. Our next meeting is the 26th.